this Thursday, the 27th of July, 72. This is the second visit with Phyllis on, this is Thursday, the 27th of July, 72. Channel 1 over. Channel 1 over and beginning of the visit with Phyllis, this Thursday, the 27th of July, 72. Channel 1 over and beginning of visit with Phyllis, this Thursday, the 27th of July, 72. Channel 1 over and beginning of the visit with Phyllis, this Thursday, the 27th of July, 72. Channel 1 over and beginning of the visit with Phyllis, this Thursday, the 27th of July, 72.
It's like a refrigerator out here.
Say, I got these yesterday. We intended to come out last night, and then we found out that Historic Gainesville was meeting, and they expected Ward to speak.
What do you mean by doing that?
Funding. I doubt it's any good. Today, I meant to give it out last night.
If you don't quit doing this, I'm going to spank you.
Oh, I want to get the recipe. You know, love that cake.
Well, my friend.
Yeah, I said, Brandy, well, she was first right out of the car. We didn't know the door.
Well, let me tell you before you go.
Oh, she is excited. She said she's right here. Come on in.
Okay.
Come on in.
Name it.
No longer the villain in Lori's life. She's at this restaurant now 8 hours a day, and all these waitresses are her villains now.
They're the ones that give her directions.
And
I'm no longer the villain in my child's life. She's transferred it all to these people she works with.
What do you mean works with?
Oh, she's got a full-time job.
At this
restaurant.
Believe it.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I can't believe it.
42 hours a week.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
And you feel that?
So, yeah. Uh-huh.
And
she's
so. Are we kind of a little bit?
No, it's fine. She's going to make $125. No, say they get, if she clears 60, she'll be doing good. Because, see, she didn't get any tips. She gets $1.65. No tips. Huh?
Yeah.
But I had a laugh. The day she came home, she says, this lady said to me, your uniform. And, she said, yeah, what about it? She says, lengthen it. She had me take a hem in it like this, see. But it was so long I couldn't measure it with my stick. So there's a lengthen it. She said, well, I will if I find the time. And she says, you'll find the time. So she is real mad at her when she came over.
Yeah. I didn't know this was going up.
Well, yes, she wants to buy that horse. So she went out and got the job. And then she told me last night, she said, Mama, I don't know, maybe I'm making a mistake to get it, because she said, I'm so tired when I come home from work. And if I work, go to school and then work, I don't know if I feel like riding. I'm going to be too tired to ride. So we got to tell people this week one way or the other whether she's going to go through with it. And he's not in particular hurry for his money, but he does want to know whether we're going to take the horse, and he wants to know when she'll pay him, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Well, she just has to work 2 weeks or 3 weeks or something.
Well, not really, because this time around we do it differently. If she buys the feed, I'll pay for the vet bill, you know, but because that's a little much. But if she can't buy the feed, then I don't think she'll have it at this age. See, she's 15 and a half. And shoot, you know, feeds what? Costs her about $2 or $3 a week. And she can make it.
Well, Phyllis, let me tell you, I don't see any purpose in doubling it up. The horse and the restaurant. Why, once she gets a toehold in that restaurant, she can just live in it.
Well, there's certainly some opportunities there. They move them. They start them at the lowest level, $1.65. Then they move them to cashier, where they still don't have a chance at tips. Then they move them into the areas where they have a chance for tips, in addition to this basic $1.65 an hour. And it's all a matter of how long you stay. So, you know, you move up through the ranks according to how long you stay at the job. And this is a chance to make good money when she's, you know, a year from now in high school if she can stay. Well, I don't know. I was telling Ward, she comes home such a devil that it must take a lot out of her because she just as cross as a bear when she gets
home.
Oh,
is she?
But it's not at you.
No, I just stay out of it. Today it was with her boyfriend. She stormed back to her room, and he just sat there for a little while. He was just about to leave, and she came back out, and they took off together. But as director, she's just tired out, you know.
Yeah.
So what you been doing out here?
Staying out of the heat.
Staying out of this awful
gas thing.
Well, I was going to make some more hay, but you see, it's been hazy.
Yeah.
And unless the sun shines, it won't cure.
Oh.
And, I mean, it just lingers.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know when it's cured. And I get all...
It's been hazy out here, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
oh
yeah.
Goodness.
Yeah, we haven't had a straight sunlight.
You think Eagleton's going to withdraw? You think Eagleton's going to withdraw from the whole thing?
You know, I don't know anything about that.
Have you heard him on the news, or did you catch any of his interviews? You watch that kind of stuff, don't you?
Yeah, but I don't talk about it.
Well, I'm just asking you what you think about it.
I don't think.
Oh, you don't think one way or another about it, huh?
I tell you, though, I read some of Herman's book.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, he goes a lot farther than I had ever gone. He looks at his de-schooling. He's thinking about all the institutions.
Is he?
Yeah.
I haven't read it.
the whole shebang.
You mean do away with schools? Not have formal schooling?
I can't condense it for you.
Mm-hmm.
But he's, I wouldn't say he would just eliminate schooling, but he would reduce the amount of schooling.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not my field. I'm not interested in it, really. The only part that I got interested in was through Emerson. You see, Emerson's three interesting lectures are anti-institutional.
Hmm.
I mean, it's very strong.
Hmm.
You see, the scholar is against the colleges, and that's what happened to him. You see, he was disowned by them, but. And the Divinity School, and then
self-reliance.
And that was even broader, you see, than the others, self-reliance. And you see, what he has in there is worked out in Whitman. And you see, Whitman says on the Song of the Open Road, you see, that we will postpone no longer. And you see, I'm not a scholar, and when I came down here, I didn't come as a scholar. See, I have no feel as a scholar. I just can read books. And I can handle.
Isn't that what it is?
No.
Just reading books, isn't it?
Oh, no. Hell, you got to know the corpus of somebody. You got to read everything Wordsworth wrote and everybody in his lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, I've never...
Well, you have really with Emerson.
Do
Thoreau
I?
Thoreau and Emerson you have, haven't you? Followed everything.
Oh, Lord, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I'm perfectly ignorant. And what I see in them is really not in them. A great deal of it, you see. It's me.
Well, you ought to write your own book then.
Well, I would. But it'd have to be essays. It wouldn't be scholarly articles.
I love essays.
Well, what I meant to say is, you see, in Emerson, you have that, and he says the scholars are feminine, and they can't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And they postpone.
Hmm.
You see, that's written, and the clerics too. You see, in the Divinity School, it's basic in Emerson. It's basic in Emerson. He got the abstractionists, all of them. He thinks of the reformers and he got various brands of them. Well, it's not my thought, But I have used it with the students in order to get them to somehow, you see, I've been able to penetrate their hide
mm-hmm.
with that institutional thought that they are just tools. The institutions are traps, and they fall for the traps. You see.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not against institutions. I think they are mostly you do better without them
mm-hmm.
To a large extent. But I mean, that's not my thought. I mean, that's just a little part of Emerson that I use to teach with.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I'm not. I've never been a reformer. I work with the with the anti-barge canal people.
Well, that's reforming, isn't it?
Well, it's a sort of a. You see, I don't even stand up next to Herman. He's way ahead of me. You see, I've never done anything like that.
Herman's done it.
And this book.
Sure has.
And this book, you see, goes way yonder farther than I go, and it goes in a different way. I say, you see, now you see, when you all went to down to the Keys to the family, out to a ward, my experience is what you do, you're going to take a trip, and your object will be to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to destroy any value of the trip.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, that's all my interest. It's sort of a private interest.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I use Emerson to make the mental, whether it's an Emerson or not, you see. So it's sort of innocuous. Now you see.
You ought to write your essay.
I'm ashamed to say I may have to. But you see,
well, if you can't find it in printing somewhere you ought to just do it.
You see, what you do once you get in that sort of thought, you develop it whether you want to or not, and it comes about in the oddest way. Ward was talking to the girl over there who's a bibliographer in the library. What's her name? She's awfully nice. Such a hard-hitting, scholarly way of teaching bibliography.
Oh, Margaret Patterson.
Yes, beginning graduate students.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I dreamed about that. Every time I thought about it, you know, it'd give me the willies. To think about making them such bibliographers before they could read an article.
Oh.
You see, those early graduate students can't handle bibliographers. They can't handle the content, much less the form.
This is to teach them the way around the library, is that all?
Yes, but they never learn. They can't learn to get around the library. The only way to find things in the library, as I have found out in Yale and Oxford, and I've been all of them, is to ask a good librarian. You see, I don't have anything against the bibliography, except just a very small little point, you see. And then I take the prose that they write.
Yeah.
Well, you see, I've worked in that for years.
Yeah.
I was down to engineering college for a whole damn year. And I saw their prose. Why, they don't need to speak English to write engineering language. A Japanese can write it just as well. All they do is frame it. They'll work 6 months, you see, and all they'll write up is something about that long.
Oh.
So what? All they need is someone to proofread it.
Yeah.
You see, well, you see, so I see the scholarly is what I call the MLA style, like Ward's. You see.
Yeah.
It's indigestible, and you see, it takes forever to write it.
You mean the type of writing?
That all of them do over there.
Oh, yeah.
All of them do. All the departments. It's indigestible. It's the sort of thing you have to do, though. I mean, there's no choice. You have to do that. Well, you see, I can't change that.
But you say you don't like the creative writing. That's digestible, at least.
No. You see, what you do, I've worked with the students in so many ways. And it's mostly the students I work with. You see, Rick was going fine on this stuff, and he took a break and went back to Miami. And he got back up here, and he was way back behind where he left off. And what he did on the way down there, he spent a couple of hours helping a fella in a little Toyota who had engine trouble.
Probably Bubsy Levy.
And he sat here when he got back and reported on that for half an hour. He did it well.
Yeah.
Well, he was at such loose ends. The morning before he came out here, he spent it in town chasing around after a little tool with a light bulb in it to use to find a leak in his ignition system. You see, his backup light wouldn't work. The bulb was all right, but it wouldn't turn on.
And then he was lost about his writing.
And
huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, you see. Well. Now, that Toyota thing is not fruitful at all. He's writing about people. It's people he never saw before.
Mm-hmm.
And furthermore, it's
limited.
There's some pressure where the people don't act natural, unless he wants to just follow them in an unnatural state.
Hmm.
You see, so, but he didn't want to do that. He just got caught. So it knocked out 3 or 4 days for him.
Yeah.
Well, that's the sort of thing you see that I work with. It's always just working people over. Well, what I see in the creative writing, you see, they don't know what they're writing about. They don't have experience to cover it.
Oh. Hmm.
Now Debbie writes back that she just on tiptoe when she thinks about sharks. She couldn't write a half a page on a chart. She hasn't worked it up. She's been over there since Christmas Day, and she got back to this country the 20th of July, and she hasn't got anything in shape to use.
Who is this?
All she
Debbie
has
Bowers?
Done,
oh.
All she has done is speak French. And you see, if she wants to see something...
That's a real experience, though.
Not if she wants to see something.
Wait, see her,
because she can't see in French.
See, her proposition was to speak, to write.
Her proposition was to have experiences that she would use.
It wasn't Guy's notion, is it?
Wasn't my idea, it was hers.
Oh.
And
instead of that, she got clear off on that French business. And furthermore, she did everything wrong. She located on a niece. And there's only one place in France to locate, and that is Paris.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of them is dull.
Lots of experience there. Yeah.
The rest of them is dull. She didn't take a typewriter. She wouldn't buy one. She talked with these people, you know, and she didn't get exactly what they said. I said, Debbie, just go down to the store and get you a cheap tape recorder.
Yeah.
And then you can listen to it 2 or 3 times.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. She didn't do anything.
Especially if you're in a different country, you'd want to take
this. She didn't do anything, you see. Now that's what you get into. So what she's been doing, she does just like Cookie. All she's done is been spin her wheels. Now you see, that's what I work with.
Yeah.
And I'm the only one you've ever seen who works with that.
With the wheel spinners.
Yeah. Now you see, Laurie, I can't work with. She's not quite up to my standard. I mean, my age, I can work with them. But you see, Ward works with people who are way past where I am, except they're not way past there. He assumes that they are.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't think so.
Well,
I think he figures you're doing something different.
He talks to them
different.
As if they were.
Oh, now, Guy.
I'm just talking now. You don't want to straighten me out. Just follow me.
I think he's very peaceful. He says, live and let live. That he wants to do one thing and you want to do another, and you're welcome to do it. I think it's good myself to have people that can reach all sorts of
people. Well, now, what I'm doing, now, you don't want to straighten us out. What I meant to say was that that Herman, you see, has gone way yonder farther than I have in this institutional thing.
Right.
In this book, you see, that he has.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not interested in reforming any institutions or changing them, actually. Because I couldn't.
Yeah, he believes in burning them down.
I never, but what I would like to do, if this place is, Ward gets along all right here, but he's one of the few who does. what I would like to do, and what I, at one time, I could do, is I could work with one of the history people to see how they'd use a little incident.
Mm-hmm.
And I could work with one of the writers to see how they would work up a little incident.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And we could all sort of look at it together.
Mm-hmm.
And now, Suzanne has done the best for me of anyone. And she has this remarkable little episode of Ms. Guthrie facing the Sears people about a roof. And she reports it in beautiful detail. And she doesn't, she's not abstract. And Ms. Guthrie stands up to him and takes him around and shows him. And Suzanne was there right at the time. And right in the middle of it, she breaks down and tells him about all the things she has bought from Sears and nothing has ever given her trouble before.
Uh-oh.
Yes, it's an amazing little performance on Ms. Guthrie's part. But you see what Ms. Guthrie's doing, she is using that gift of the countryside, you see, of performing herself. The old plumbers and carpenters and wall and paper hangers, you see, were all performers. And so is she. She's one of the few left that I know. Suzanne sets it down. She sets it down beautiful. She doesn't tape it, she sets it down. Then they go in, the Sears people leave, and they go in and sit down, and she says, Miss Mary changes. And she picks up the suggestion of Suzanne's, and Suzanne said something about somebody being older than somebody else. But it's a part of it. And Miss Mary goes back to 1935, when she had that old Model A Ford with a rumble seat. And she hauled these people around, including Marvin, to see the girls. And then all of a sudden, she made him get out. And Suzanne said she was laughing all the time she related. You see, her touch is so light. It goes from the present where she can't fend for herself, not against Sears, no one else can, to this marvelous incident back there, you see, where she had that Model A Ford with a rumble seat. And it's a beautiful thing. And it's put on just like it happened, and it happened just right. Well, they sat a little while and came over here. And we sat and talked, and Miss Mary changed again. All over again, and she related everything that was happened, and I taped it. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Now, you see, what I want to do, what I would propose to do, is, you see, I don't know how to, I'm no writer. I'm sort of a Sunday school teacher when it comes to writing, you see. I can talk and hold forth and put words down, all like that, but they don't get me very far. Well, I'd like to work with people on something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You see, the students over there who do creative writing, they can't think, they can't read, they got no experience, they can't handle the experience, and I'd just like to support them. I have no pretensions.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, I can do that. I can do this sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see the experience. And that's more than most of them over there can do.
Yeah.
That's the one thing. But I don't want to, I have no see nothing I can do about it. I mean, it's just...
You're at the wrong school. You should have been at Santa Fe where, you know, they really appreciate innovative ideas and they are open to different kinds of teachers,
yeah.
different kinds of
yeah.
methods. And
I've been in the wrong school.
You've been in
life.
The wrong schools.
Ever
you've been in
I
the
started.
Really high-class schools and you ought to get in some of these new, more liberal, you know, instead of the old established, you know, Yale-y kind of thing, places. You should be in a place that allows for more individual kinds of courses. Really, I think Santa Fe is a lot better place than the university. I'd like it a lot better.
Your language, your language is not exactly discriminating. I wouldn't call this a Yale-y sort of place.
Yeah, well, wasn't it just last year when they wanted to keep Latin? They didn't want to do away with the Latin requirement here?
Yeah. It's a sort of MLA-dominated place.
It's an 18th century-dominated place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
you see, in some of the schools there, not all of them, in some parts of them, you have a certain flexibility. Now, I can't comment it here. I don't have a reason to comment on it here.
Well, but here they don't offer anything modern for the kids who really want to read modern.
Well, they don't have anybody modern.
Well, there are people who write that are still alive, and they never include any of them in any of their courses. Even
well,
Illinois was better about it than here.
Yeah.
Andrew
well,
Lytle, I understand, wants his daughter, what's her name? He's thinking about putting her in Santa Fe.
Yeah, that's where I'd want my children to
go. Well, let me tell you something. We got off on, from Illich, whatever it is.
Yeah.
You
have to get Herman out here.
Yes, I want to.
Yeah.
I want to, once he gets settled down.
He loves to talk.
Car. Well, let me tell you,
well,
I appreciate...
Well, he's been gone. I think he ran away with that young girl.
Yeah. Well, he can leave her in town.
Well, he'll have if he convinces her to run away with him, she'll be out here with him.
Well, that's my speed. I'd love to. That's what I need. You see, I read half of it and then I skimmed the rest of it. It's all abstract, and but I can see that the man can talk, and I just love to hear Herman Hope Fulton. But you see,
well, Herman met him down in somewhere south of Mexico City.
Yeah.
And then the way it was, if about 10 students got together and wanted a certain type of course, I guess they just sort of, I don't know what, talked it over, and if somebody could teach something in a certain area and there were that many students interested, they did it. I was kind of hoping maybe Herman would get on down there, you know, because I thought he'd probably find a niche, and he hasn't. Found it anywhere else, and I was so surprised when he came back home.
You know, I don't know him in that light. I know him, you see, while he was here in the graduate school,
mm-hmm.
and he was gifted and such a charming fellow.
Oh, most charming, yeah.
And
really,
crinks,
that's true.
You know what you call it, you know?
Yeah.
No quirks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's really charming. He's a good-hearted guy. I feel for him because he's really unhappy and he feels guilty to pull away from his family, and yet his family abused him terribly. This little girl of his, one of the parents was supposed to go to a school program, and he said, "Oh, I'll go with you," and she said, "No, I'm ashamed of you. I'll take Mama." And they all just talked to him like that, and I think he ought to get out because he doesn't get any respect at all at home.
Yeah.
And you just can't take that kind of treatment, you know, year after year. After a while, there's nothing at home for you to go home for. And so, I hope that he can, you know, be happy with this young. I'm, in a way, I feel both ways. I think it's a mistake for him to marry somebody young if she wants a family because he doesn't want any.
I've known two people who have been able to live a restaurant, and the
mm-hmm.
finest one was Florence Van Arn.
Mm-hmm.
See, she was brought up, she just crawled, learned to crawl, you see, in a restaurant. Her
mm-hmm.
mother ran it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And she stayed over here. Then they moved over here from Waldo, and I'm pointing the right direction. Ruben's over here.
Mm-hmm.
And and she can, it is just fascinating to hear her be over there and see a few things and not see anything yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then listen to her talk a little bit afterwards and see what all went on. And it's amazing. Cookie had 6 months as a short order chef where he handled the griddle.
Over there?
No. Oh, no.
Not there, but somewhere else.
Up in West Virginia. And he said, and he can do it, he could do it and take those orders and get them all lined up out there on that griddle.
I'd like to see it, too.
And he said there would be nothing if he had the time or if he had the opportunity, there'd nothing that'd give him more satisfaction than to do the same thing all over again. Now that's what I meant when I said, you see, the institutions, even then, you see, institutions have changed so much. You see, the wages and hours attitude that you just expressed, you see,
mm-hmm.
is a barrier. It sets up a barrier where you can't get into the thing.
Well, you can't get into it anyway, Guy, because like when they go in these restaurants, they divide the work. All she does is break up lettuce. So what's the experience for her?
I just need fillets around, don't I?
Guy, what's the experience for her? I mean, how much can she get out of her restaurant job when all you do is break lettuce up?
She can do a great deal if she had someone behind her to sort of help her, you see. Now, mm-hmm. Cookie didn't need anybody. And Florence didn't need anybody. You see, the institutions, even that far back, that not far back, the institutions took them in, and now they throw them out. But you see, what I have come to, you see, in working with Emerson, those, is the institutions, you see, all of them are traps, and you have to be scholarly in order to penetrate them to see what they're really about.
Yeah.
And it's almost the same way. Now you see what you can do, you can watch it that way. Laurie has to be scholarly almost in order to even take an interest in that place down there. Now you see, I don't know, Phyllis.
No,
I'm just going along with you.
This is a big restaurant. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's really cut up
and apart.
You know?
Well, Ruben's is cut up and apart.
Yeah, that's right.
One man made the salad. Bessie made the salads
that's when
she came back here in 1953.
Well, as far as she's concerned, this is just a means to an end. I don't know that she... It wasn't for me, though. When I worked in a restaurant, I had the best years of my life. They turned the restaurant over to me. And I'd go in there on the weekends, and I put in 36 hours on a weekend.
Yeah.
Plus, I'd work evenings. And we really had a wonderful time.
What, Phyllis? Parts of your life I never heard of.
Yeah. It was a little sandwich shop, and they turned it over to me.
Yeah.
On the weekends, they trusted me to do everything and lock up everything and turn all the money over to them.
Isn't that nice?
And they, and the reason I went to school, actually, was because of the people that I met in this restaurant. Some of the townspeople took an interest in me, you know, because I was just a poor kid.
Oh, you were?
And, well, really poor, where I didn't have a nickel to go to school on. And they just took an interest in me and began asking about me and how could they help, you know. And so they got me all signed up to take these tests and everything, which helped me pay my tuition all through college. And it was really because of this restaurant work, because we knew people and had such a good time together down there. And I remember this one Dr. Bowen, he used to come in all the time, and apparently it was his only real recreation where he was out of his other world and into this little funny little world of ours where we laughed and joked and made fun of each other and carried on. And he'd come down there and he'd give me little lectures, you know. And I'd say to him, I don't want to go to college. I don't want to do any of that. I'm happy right here. You want to work here the rest of your life? And he'd give me these lectures. But he was one who got me going.
Yeah.
But see, I took great pride in it because it was my little place. And I was never late. And I was, you know, honest. And it was a lot dependent on me. But this isn't the kind of job she's got.
Well, that's trouble. But that's what it's all turned into. All jobs are like that.
That's too bad.
So you see, you can. My recipe is, she's got to be scholarly in order to cut through and see what it is. Now that's my recipe. You see, it's a very abstract way of looking at
it. See, one of the things that Rick is doing right now is, isn't it, Guy?
Yeah.
Is he's looking at what he did at Winn-Dixie.
Yeah.
And you'd be amazed at what
he didn't
writing.
See it then.
You would be amazed at the what's coming out.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And he's fascinating.
Just
how does he feel about his daddy these days? Is
He can't wait to get back and talk to his daddy.
Yeah. That's what they do. The first thing they do when they work with me, make peace with their daddies.
Yeah.
Do you know that?
I suppose. Either you go one way or the other.
No.
No, I think you would.
No.
You'd either decide altogether
to stay
away
or move
back.
Not when they can see.
No.
When they'll take off,
no.
Even the wickedest. When they'll take
no.
off and look and see what it is.
Mm-hmm.
If you just really look at it.
You see, one of my objects of scorn is the family. It's not scorn. You see, I follow Margaret Mead and the family. And at the same time, I mend it.
Yeah.
And how it happens, I don't know, but it does. See, when Rick went off down there, he could have chewed his daddy up. When he left down there, he could. When he went back down there, he looked at him for the first time.
Hmm. Oh, he thinks he's great.
Yeah.
He said he just guessed he had matured.
You see, Emerson does that for me, enables me to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's go see this horse. I'll get that dog.
No, I want to get one thing, one more thing. Sit down. Don't you know I read that little piece on Barbara?
Yeah.
And you said you didn't know people like that, and Ward said you did too. Who was that, he said?
The people who don't travel. Oh, my stepfather.
Your stepfather?
Yeah.
He had been that one place for 42 mm-hmm. years.
Yeah, or longer, probably. 47 years, probably.
Yeah.
Because I guess he was more like close to 50 years in the same farmhouse.
And he went up...
Yeah, see, when he married my mother, she got so lonely for me, and we were up in Wisconsin then, so she made him drive her up. He sacrificed his night at home in order to drive her up there.
Oh.
And that was the first time he'd ever been away, I think.
Hi.
Hello there.
Oh.
I'm going to let you back on
it. I don't quite get the connection.
Well, when she married the second time, she married a guy. He was at least 45 when she married him, I think.
Oh, your mother, that's your grandfather?
And this Gary, this young blonde kid, didn't you meet
yes,
Gary?
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah.
That's their child.
Yeah.
Stepfather.
Yeah. That's their child.
A stepfather.
All right, you got it straight. All right.
But
he went off and stayed two nights.
Yeah. And that's all.
I had a big time.
Yeah. But he's glad to get home again, too, I think, don't you think?
He's pretty good once you got him away from home. He couldn't do it.
Well, let's go out and see my friend.
Yes, they're all there. They were asking about you.
I'm going to get my, put on my long trousers.
This is the end of Phillips on Thursday, the 27th of July, 72, and now the beginning of Cookie on Sunday, the 30th of July. That's the end of Phyllis on Thursday, the 27th of July, and now the beginning of Cookie on Sunday, the 30th of July, 72.
I found the cab, bro. Then got it bought. Contracted. I ain't got to pay for it yet. I got to do some horse trading before I can pay for it. And Frank said he'd settle down and help me fix it. He said, I tore it up. He said, I'll help you fix it now.
This
is?
Uh-huh. I'll pour it.
Where's my mug? I don't have a mug.
I didn't see one. Oh, yeah.
This one?
No.
This one?
Yeah. Oh, he mixed it.
No, I don't have any recipe, see. Just trying to find some water. They're not much when you're hot, you know.
Yeah.
That's what makes water taste good, Cookie.
Oh, man.
If you're not hot, you might as well be drinking Coca-Cola, isn't it?
I just can't drink this thing much anymore.
You've drunk your share of them, haven't you?
I've drunk my share of them, yeah. And, but I'll tell you, if they coop you up in a place where you can't get nothing like that, all you can get is old stagnant water, and like I got in Tampa, and stuff like that, and by golly, you can see what good that old stagnant water does you and all, and everything.
Yeah.
It makes a big difference.
It makes a big difference.
See there, before I went to surgery, see, I weighed 143 pounds. Most I weighed in a long time.
Yeah.
And it wasn't the food. I know it couldn't be the food because it just wasn't good.
Oh, down there?
Down there. It just wasn't good. It was just regular meals,
yeah.
What there was, and just laying around, I guess.
Laying around.
Because that's all we had to do.
Yeah.
But boy, just to think, me going in surgery weighing 143 pounds.
Yeah.
And being discharged 2 weeks later weighing 121 pounds. Can you imagine that?
Yeah. You back there when you was having them headaches, you never got down anything like that.
Oh yeah, I got down to 114 once.
Here?
Yeah.
Well, at least you dragged him along. You didn't look so wretched.
I kept moving.
I didn't.
Except those 9 days I was in the hospital,
yeah.
And then.
You were kind of shuffling along like Charlie Chaplin there for a while.
Yeah, I was shuffling.
Yes. I tell you what, over here, it hadn't. I tell you what, it's all right if you don't, this weather, if you don't get your body heat up. You can go around and, look at a few things, you know. But once you get up a sweat, you sweat for an hour.
I know it. Like I told Faye down there a while ago. I've been wanting to get over here. It ain't that I ain't been wanting to get over here. For the simple fact I knew if I come over here, I'd see things that ought to be done, and I'd went ahead and have done them.
Yeah.
Well, he couldn't stand it. I tried keeping him going down there. He heard the tractor. He said he didn't want to see that. He wouldn't pick up a bail, he said.
Well,
he had to go see.
Well, I tell you what, it's what I found out this year is you can save just about anything and make it good as long as you got hand weather. Now this over here was too dry. I was just sort of cleaning it up to start with. But you can get it way yonder, past mature, and still got right smart sap in it. If you got hay and weather, Cookie.
That's right. Just like last year, we didn't have no
nope.
hay and weather, none at all.
We didn't have any weather where it would dry at all.
No.
Cloudy weather.
But now that over there, I smelled of it. That there is good. They'll eat every bit of that.
Well, that's about the worst I've done.
But now they'll eat it all. It's got a good smell.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, most of it I've got up like this, it had plenty of weight to it. You can tell out there.
But you can smell it by walking by the barn.
Mm. I tell you, you gotta if you're fooling with hay, you gotta watch it. and be ready to start to work on it.
Yeah.
down here now.
Well, now, it's like I told Faye, a doctor. I've been doing just exactly what my doctor told me to do. They ain't used me to go to him if I don't do what he tell me to do.
Yeah.
But on this next week, he told me to start riding my horse.
Yeah.
Oh, he did?
He sure did. He said, don't run that horse. But he said, ride that horse. He said, the sway of that horse's back, and you're swaying with it, will exercise them muscles and do you more good than any medicine you can take.
Uh-huh.
How about that?
And you know yourself, you've got to give with a horse.
That's right.
And you're going to work muscles that makes you sore to ride a horse. You're going to work muscles that you don't ordinarily work out here walking around every day.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, he got a point there. He got horse sense. And he's a horseman himself.
Well, your muscles won't be so long as much as you ridden horses.
No, but I hope they're not. I mean, especially these over here on this right side. I'd like to see that soreness leave.
Yeah.
Because it's all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
Right there, straight through to my backbone, all the way through there, around here, is sore. Mister, it is sore.
It's plain sore.
And it's been that way. Of course, it's not as bad as it was. But now, it is sore.
Well, I'll tell you, last summer was mild, do you remember?
Right.
We didn't have anything like this.
Nothing at all. It wasn't, no.
And I'm telling you, they've had me over a barrel. I've been doing them damn books. Oh, it's killing me. That's the worst thing I do. Figuring and all that other stuff is tedious, but it ain't like that. You get a bunch of books and you don't want to read them and you got to work through them, you see. Oh, it's just like having worms.
Oh, he's hard to live with, Cookie, when he's having to do that
yes.
bookwork.
I
threaten to leave him.
I don't see anybody. I don't go anywhere.
That's right. He works so
I
hard.
I just lay down in there on the bed and feel sorry for myself.
That's it. That's the trouble.
And see, you don't...
I'm not fit to go anywhere. No, sir.
Yeah, I tell you what you ought to do. The 15th of next month, you ought to just lock up the door and come on and go with me up the country, up to Dad's and look at them cows visiting and that old mare and colt he's got and that little saddle horse he's got and roam over them hills for a week and come back and you'll be a different man.
Oh, yes.
Go to an all-night sing with Tommy Burnham and his boys.
Yeah.
They're having an all-night sing up there.
You know, August is the month they celebrate up in that country.
Yes, my fella, you ought to go up there. We're going to, we'll be up there. I'm going to leave the 15th. If everything goes well. I'm going to drive a Cadillac up. And then Laura and Helen is coming about the 20th. 18th, the 20th. They got their vacation and... They all want us to come back up there. They can't come. They can't get their vacations and get enough time off so we can I can see them all at one time for them to come down here, see. So they've all pitched in and going to give us our expense money up there and back in order for us to go up there and get back. Because I told him, I said, no, I can't do it. I just can't do it. I don't have the money. And
but you got the time now.
I've got the time. I've got plenty of time. I can't do nothing else.
Well, that's fair enough.
So I'm going to take, with me, I'm going to take Harriet Ann and Sarah Beth with me because they're bigger.
Uh-huh.
And if I have a flat tire, I can show them how. They can jack the car up and change the tire on the Cadillac.
Yeah.
Whereas if I had the two little ones, well, they would just be in my way.
Yeah.
I can't even jack that car up. Now, I'm not exaggerating. I just ain't got no strength to jack that car up.
Yeah. You could do it, but you don't want to do that yet.
No, that's too much.
I just ain't got it to jack that car up.
You could
I can get it done, but
get it done.
But that's what they want, so that old Tommy Burnham, he wanted me to be at that all night sing up there.
Yeah.
Wanted Helen and the girls to come and sing.
Yeah.
So I guess they'll be singing in West Virginia about, let's see, it's last Saturday night in August.
Yeah.
Well, that's something to look forward to.
So you first ought to just, you'll ought to just shut the door and turn the cows out and
go, with
and go along with me.
Yeah, I wish you would. I'm all for it.
Because my mom and dad, I'm telling you, they'd roll out the red carpet now. There ain't no question.
That's
yes,
right.
My fella. Poor mama, they were surprised to see me up there when Helen's dad had the operation. But, it's like I said a while ago, Helen's brothers was right there. One of them lived within 150 miles of Cleveland. No, he didn't go. Hadn't been yet.
Cleveland,
Ohio.
Is that where it was?
Yeah.
Cookie, I just noticed the other day on the television, it showed showed Senator McGovern going to Pittsburgh, and they letting out one shift, and them fellas was coming out. They're the biggest thing I ever saw. Oh, they are thick, walking along in
them
t-shirts. God almighty. They live well, you reckon?
Yeah.
Get plenty of exercise.
I tell you what, I was up at Mama's and she had some of that homemade pork sausage and I was just about to make myself sick.
Oh, don't tell me about it, Cookie. I love that soap.
Yeah.
Lord, that was the old fashioned kind where you can up in a fruit jar, you know, and put it in the cellar and it'll keep forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good stuff. Goodness gracious, it was good.
Tastes just like it ought to taste.
You can't buy it out of the store that tastes like that. There ain't no way.
Well, I knew it was so hot. I didn't call over there. I talked to Laura, had Ann, once or twice. And they said something about coming over, and I said this wasn't any place to be. The way it's been, I don't think you find a cool place out in the shade. And I figured y'all were just sort of halfway getting along over there.
Well, this morning I came down to, I brought Frank to work at 9 o'clock. Like I told her, I didn't get to sleep till. Well, I didn't sleep an hour and a half all night last night. And had to pick Helen up from work. Had to see that she was picked up. I didn't pick her up. Had to get Laura up, get her out, get her going. Then I had to get Frank up. And I brought him to work then. I'd worked the soreness out to work a halfway drive. And then I took him over to work, and I went over to the trailer. I went in there and laid down, went to sleep, and I didn't wake up till 20 minutes after 2.
Is that right? You've been out all ever since?
I've been right over in the trailer asleep since 9 o'clock this morning. I didn't wake up till 20 minutes after 2. But it was cool in there, you know.
Oh, was it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was cool in there.
And the sun don't hit it too bad. It
not until about 3 o'clock in the evening. The sun will hit the front of it, see.
And that's the end of it.
Yeah, that's the end of the comfort.
Yeah.
The rest of the time it's comfortable back in there.
Well, just as soon as it hits one end, it'll just like it's hitting all of it.
Yeah. But now if I'd had a fan where I could pull that cool breeze from that lane up there.
Yeah.
I could have pulled that cool breeze there through the trailer, see.
Yeah.
Well,
it would stay
cool. It'd still been cool over there.
Yeah.
But I ain't even got a fan.
Well, that wouldn't take much of a fan for that.
No, I'll catch them on sale and get me one of them $10 fans one day.
Exhaust fan?
Yeah. If I could afford one like that that didn't blow you off the face of the earth when you turned it on you, why, it'd be different.
You can't get them.
Mm-mm. Now that one there, now that doesn't blow you.
Yeah, it's Japanese and it costs $55.
Yes, sir. But you take them others, if you put them on you direct, well, they'll just blow you up,
blow you
away.
Right. Oh, yes.
That's right.
Sir. I haven't seen any down there this year. He may have them, but I haven't been down there much. And he had a whole lot of them last year. First one I saw, I bought. And then I got to thinking later about somebody else here wanting one, you see. And he'd sold them all except the one he'd had for demonstration. So he let me, I took that one. That's the one Faye got in there.
Yeah. Well, I bought an exhaust window fan for the house, but it just, I don't know, it just don't pull out air through there like it should.
Yeah, that thing don't work. Mm-mm. No, sir. I don't know, I think you've got to get it up, Cookie. Down below, it's not as good as it is up.
Had a big attic fan to put in there, boy, it'll pull it out.
Yes, yes, that would do it. That's right, Faye.
Had a big attic fan.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You take your house here. Now, if you had a fan upstairs blowing it out, pulling it through this way, right up the stairway, and blowing it out up there.
Yeah. Yes, sir. That's right.
I know Helen's dad, he has 2 fans upstairs. And he pulls it one in each end of the house. And he runs them both at the same time.
Oh.
They're in great big, I think 24-inch window fans.
Yeah.
He runs both of them at the same time. And they even have to set the flowers out of the windows downstairs. Of course, they just raise them about that far, see?
Yeah.
It's enough to pull that air through there.
Yeah.
Go that on up the steps.
That's what it takes. And then it gets the hot air from up there. See, this stuff here won't change. There's no way to get that.
Yeah.
That's where all the hot air is, see?
Yeah.
I guess it might have some cool air if you sit down on the floor.
I don't know whether you would or not. Nowadays, gosh.
Yes, sir.
Now, this next week, guy, I'm going to be down here off and on all week. I'm going to get hooked up, fixed up over there working. Cook and eat. Drink my milk.
Get a little exhaust fan, you'll be all set.
Cause, I'm just gonna lay it on the line. Helen and the kids are fussing, and her trying to get them to do something, and so forth. Just get turns my nerves on edge, and I got the, I just can't stand it.
Well, you know, you know, if you see any, if there's any end in sight, it's one thing. You know, a fella can stand a lot as long as he sees the end of it.
Yeah.
In sight.
So when you see, don't can't see no end of it. That road gets long, don't it?
Yeah. Now, what if Faye's friend comes out here and she's a charming person, but she starts telling you a story, it is endless. You'd think you see the end every now and then, but you're mistaken. Because just as much as that, there's just that much more just comes to her mind when she gets to the end.
Right around the corner.
Yes, sir. So you just can't hold your breath that much.
They know it irritates me, too.
Well, I tell you, that plus hot weather.
Yeah.
It's sort of hard on some.
Hey, look at that. Vines. Aren't they nice in summer? Vines. Don't you know all those vines we used to have?
Yeah.
About there?
You know, up in Carolina, both North and South Carolina,
yeah.
The road banks is just lined with them things. I mean, that's beautiful now.
Yeah.
There's no question about it. I don't know what they're good for.
Just hold the ground. Make it pretty.
Now, boy, it does. Well, they're worth it, I'll tell you. And they're pretty.
Yes, they're worth it.
Cover just about everything. Yes, sir.
Well, how's your Cadillac doing, Cookie?
Fine.
That's fine.
Cookie says it's Frank. He thinks it's Frank's eyes. He's quiet. He just misjudges and just goes into a ditch. And when he reads the paper, he has to put something in front of his nose.
He puts right like that.
Yeah.
But yet he went out to over there and passed that driving test. I mean that vision test to get his driver's license. And it's way out yonder, see. Now that would be farsighted, wouldn't it, Faye?
Well, it's supposed to be natural, you know. I don't know. But from what you say, he just misjudged and ran Laura's car into a ditch. Just misjudged the ditch.
Sure did.
Laura's car?
Yeah.
Cookie says he's wrecked 8 cars in a year and a half.
8 cars in a year and a half.
And you know, it's not just fast driving.
It's not that, I mean, he just don't do it deliberately. I just can't think the boy will do it deliberately. I thought they might give that boy a tranquilizer when he wrecked my pickup. I shook him up that much. I ain't joking. He was all two pieces. And he begged him not to let me come. He begged him not to let me come out there. Yeah, he said, don't let Daddy come. He said, he just been out of the hospital 2 days and I tore his truck all to pieces. He said, don't let him come.
If you'd have been with Franklin,